And welcome to the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Guest today is Angela Lee from the SLV Climbers Alliance. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for the music that you're hearing and Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you hear throughout the program. Angela Lee, co-founder of the SLV Climbers Alliance. Welcome, and thanks for being a guest on the Outdoor Citizen.
Thanks so much, Marty. I am really excited to be here. Thanks for the invite.
You're welcome. So, how was the climbing this summer?
No, summer is not the most prime time for climbing here in the valley. As you know, it gets kind of hot and dry. So spring and fall really is when the valley climbing starts to pop off, and we're kind of seeing those temperatures drop in the evening in Penitente Canyon and some of our beautiful crags. So my partner, Wes O'Rourke, he's the other co-founder of the organization. We've been starting to kind of head back out there to touch some cooler rock, and it's been, really exciting for the season to come.
Yeah, this summer especially was really warm for the San Luis Valley. I can understand why you wouldn't want to be up against the rock wall when it's 90 degrees outside.
Right. Some climbers are brave enough to venture into the alpine during the summer. So obviously the Sangres have a lot of really cool technical climbing routes and non-technical climbing routes too. And I'm sure a lot of folks got after that this summer too.
So when was the Alliance founded?
So this SLV Climbers Alliance, some folks may know us by Slivka. We founded in 2019, so that's been, 4 years now? It started as a small idea with myself and my partner at the time, currently, too. We gathered a meeting at the Windsor Hotel in Del Norte, invited all the climbers, outdoor educators, youth program folks, and kind of held our first meeting to see what our needs were here in the valley. It was a very successful meeting. The board formed shortly after that, still running strong as a volunteer board. And we've been kind of going strong ever since. We have a lot of different aspects of the organization. We're really proud to be standing here still 4 years later.
That's good. And you weathered a difficult time for everybody by getting through the pandemic safely.
Certainly.
So in looking at the Climbers Alliance website, I see that you have three distinct goals: community building, stewardship, and access. Can you talk about each of those, please?
Sure. I mean, community building was definitely one of the first needs that I think we identified. Of course, my partner and I weren't the only climbers in the entire SLV at the time of that first meeting that we called. There's definitely was a community of climbers, but just from our personal experience, we saw that it was a very fractured community. You know, a lot of these more urban areas might have a climbing gym to act as a hub for the climbers, but here it's, you know, we do have Adams State as this rock wall there. But aside from that, it's largely just out in the wild at the wild crags and climbing areas, and we would go and just be the only ones out there. And I think the climbing community as a whole, just nationwide, really values that sense of community. And we really just wanted to see some more of that in the valley. So that was definitely just one of the recurring goals that a lot of folks shared at the meeting. We continue to have that goal of just fostering community. And we've been doing that by hosting, you know, group climbing events. Even just the fundraiser events are such a great sense of community that people come out to donate to a good cause and listen to awesome music. So that's always been a big priority of our organization.
Great. And what about the stewardship?
Yeah, stewardship was definitely, I think community and stewardship are probably the biggest needs that we identified. With stewardship, you know, the history of climbing in the valley goes pretty far back, as early as like the mid late 80s, when sport climbing was starting to develop. The bolts were starting to go into the walls for the first time. You know, since then we've learned a lot of anchor and bolt safety, and a lot of the hardware that was put in back in the late 80s, early 90s, we realized have become really rusted, so outdated. And it honestly was quite a dangerous factor, keeping a lot of people from even touching some of these routes. So, you know, Wes and I would go around these crags and be like, well, that would be a fun route to climb, but do we want to risk possibly dying by clipping that old hardware that might or might not hold us? So, and there, you know, the valley was just riddled with these amazing routes that just needed some updating. And we looked around, there wasn't really an organization of climbers doing that much needed work. So we were like, well, let's slip up to the table here and get that work done. So just identifying that need, we went through all the trainings with folks over at the American Safe Climbing Association, the Access Fund, all these other national climbing organizations helped us out with a lot of support to get us the know-how, the gear, donated tools to help us really start putting the work in to upgrade these routes, make it safe for people to climb now.
And, excuse me, what about that access portion?
Yeah, access is an interesting thing. You know, it's an issue that arises in a lot of the climbing areas. Sometimes we may have certain areas that are somewhat private. But overall, our goal at SLIVCA when it comes to climbing access is to protect that for the climbers in our community. This might mean, you know, working with private landowners to make sure that access is being done in a proper way. We actually helped secure climbing access through a permanent easement just a couple of years ago at this beautiful crag called Denny's Crag out in Sawatch County. And that was a really special piece of rock with amazing climbing that was only on private land. We were able to work with that private landowner to create an easement so that climbers, you know, small groups of them at a time, because it is right over this guy's house, would be able to enjoy the climbing for the near, you know, in perpetuity, basically. So that was a really big, big win for us to be able to protect access to such a special gem like that, and creating the rules to make sure it's not overused so that there's no conflicts between the landowner and the climbers. You know, having rules like, hey, no dogs, keep your volume down. Just being that liaison between the people who manage these lands, whether that be the BLM, U.S. Forest Service, with the raptor closures, or these private landowners, to just maintain that amicable relationship between climbers and, the land managers.
I know that this Saturday, the 23rd of September, you guys have a special event going on, don't you?
With it's actually October 13th through the 15th.
What about National Public Lands Day?
Oh, yes, the National Public Lands Day. Sorry, I thought we were at the festival already.
We'll get to the festival in just a minute.
Yes, so the National Public Lands Day is coming up. I believe we're teaming up with the SLV Go, which I'm sure many outdoors folks are familiar with here in the Valley. And doing some much-needed trail work that connects the Penitente Main Canyon with the Rock Garden, which is just a hop away, a side canyon just next door to it. The trail is in kind of rough shape after all the rains the last couple of years, so we're teaming up to do a volunteer stewardship day, which is really exciting. We invite all types of folks to show up. We'll have tools. Bring your own gloves. Light snacks might be provided, and, yeah, we'll just be working on that trail so that more people can access those zones more easily and not get totally lost.
So no climbing experience is necessary for the National Public Lands Day.
No climbing experience needed at all. Just a pair of gloves and just a little bit of will to get down and dirty.
Very good. Okay, now what about the event in October, the True Penitence Climbing Fest?
Yes, that is a really exciting one. This is going to be our third annual climbing festival that we're throwing. It's a really special thing that a lot of us are super proud of. It's truly just a grassroots organized event. You know, it's all of us volunteer board members, certain businesses like Soul Mountain Farm. You know, I'm part of that farm as well, with all of our events throwing know-how, just come together to just throw on this amazing festival. We have a climbing competition for all sorts of levels of climbers, from way beginner to the most elite. We also have awesome raffles where we give away incredible prizes like backpacks and climbing gear. And we'll also have live music in the canyon. Some say it's some of the best music, Bill, over here, because we're literally right inside the canyon, surrounded by the beautiful rocks, off the grid, running with a generator, and we have DJ Tone Ranger coming out of the Taos area, Santa Fe area. And it's just such a cool vibe to have beautiful music in the canyon after a long day's climbing. And we'll also have food by SLV Food Company. But yeah, it's just this whole 3-day event with camping, lots of climbing, dancing, and live music. It's just such a good time.
Is pre-registration required for that festival?
Yes. So everyone can go to slvclimb.org/fest, and that will take you to all the info that you need about the festival, an event schedule, and you can purchase tickets there. And we're super happy to have volunteer opportunities available as well in exchange for free entry. Like I said, this is such a grassroots event, so we are really psyched to have dozens of volunteers come out the last couple of years to really make the event run, and we wouldn't be able to do it without them, honestly. So that will be opening up all this week.
Great. And in years past, this is the third year, so in the past couple of years, from where did your climbers come? Not all from the valley, I suspect.
No, not all from the valley. I would shout out to the local climbers, though. We do represent pretty hard at the True Penitence Climbing Festival. But we're really psyched to have quite the reach here. You know, our region extends as far as, you know, the Front Range, Fort Collins, Northern Colorado. We have climbers from Utah come, from Arizona, and a lot of New Mexican climbers as well, from Northern New Mexico and the Albuquerque area. They really come to show up. And I believe in the first year, we had climbers come as far as from Michigan, I think was the furthest traveled.
Pretty amazing.
So word's starting to get out, I think, that this is a pretty cool, you know, it's a very non-corporate, kind of like unique grassroots event. Everyone kind of feels that vibe that, like, whoa, hey, this is like thrown by the community, not some big, you know, brand that's just coming in. So I think that's really special, and people have been hearing about that or bringing their friends year after year. So we're really excited to see what the turnout's going to be like this year.
And October should be a great time to be up on the rock.
Oh, yes. October, mid-October, that is kind of the prime time for Penitente Canyon climbing. You know, the rock down there is made of Fish Canyon tuff. It's actually welded ash from the Lagerita explosion, the eruption. So all the ash, hot ash, just sat and just melted and hardened into the rock that we climb today. And it's a very technical style of climbing, and that cold, kind of cool temperature really helps with the friction to get up these very technical routes. So we're super excited for the cool temps to be arriving. You know, Penitente has a history of, you know, the Penitence Brothers, the Catholic sect that were into like self-flagellation and things like that. So there's this weird spooky air about the area sometimes. So I think that kind of meshes in with the wild vibrations of the event overall. So yeah, we're excited.
Great. And I know that the True Penitence Climbing Fest is focused on Penitente Canyon, but the Climbers Alliance certainly has climbing routes, not just in Penitente, but you take care of some things all across the valley, I think, don't you?
Yeah, we certainly do. Penitente is where we host the event, but the SLV is actually more and more becoming known for all of these really beautiful hidden gems. There's a lot of crags outside the Lime Kiln area, just outside South Fork, outside Del Norte, Alamosa Canyon. There's new climbing areas being developed right now, actually, just outside Alamosa Canyon. And there's all these very special places that I think most folks can finally learn more about by checking out the new areas that are added on mountainproject.com. That's kind of where the climbers go for the information of all these climbing areas. And we're really excited to see the SLV new climbing guidebook. So this is a new guidebook that just got published last year. It was the first new guidebook that came out since the 90s. The old guidebooks are all in black and white, and now we have all these new areas included in there. You can buy one at Wolverine Publishing, and it has some beautiful color photos, all the information about how to get to these places like Witch's Canyon, the Rock Garden, Stone Quarry Bouldering. I mean, it's got it all. So I recommend that folks check out the new guidebook. It's called Penitente, Climbing in the SLV.
And will some of those books be available at the True Penitence Climbing Fest?
Yes, we'll definitely be giving some away as prizes, and they should be available for purchase as well.
Great, great. And how can people get in touch with the SLV Climbers Alliance?
Yeah, the best way we try to have platforms available for all types of folks. So we do have our website, slvclimb.org. We also have a Facebook group that you can follow to stay up to date on all of our updates. And then our Instagram is slvclimbers, and we post a lot of updates for festival know-how, what to bring, what to expect, stuff like that. So please follow along.
Is there a possibility that people can contact you by telephone if some of us are old-fashioned enough that we still use something like that instead of web pages and Facebook? And
you know, we don't actually have a phone number, but I can share our email is slvclimb@gmail.com.
Okay, that's good. slvclimb@gmail.com.
Yes.
Great. Anything else that you'd like to share with us today, Angela?
I think we covered it all. We're super excited for the upcoming Volunteer Day this weekend. And yeah, please follow us on all of our platforms so you can get psyched up for the 3rd Annual True Penitence Climbing Festival. Great. We've got a lot of our systems dialed this year. Tone Ranger is coming back. He actually played the first annual, and so many people asked for him to come back that we've got him back again. So it's going to be an awesome one.
Very good. Well, we've been talking with Angela Lee, a co-founder of the SLV Climbers Alliance. And check out slvclimb.org. for the more information about the True Penitence Climbing Fest coming up October 13th through 15th. Thank you, Angela, and have a great festival.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Marty. Okay. See you out there.
All right. We'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsors. You're listening to The Outdoor Citizen.
Climb aboard the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. The Cumbres and Toltec operates on a 64 miles of track between Antonito, Colorado and Chama, New Mexico, taking passengers over the San Juan Mountains to the Conejos Valley. Regular daily passenger service begins June 3rd through October 21st and will run 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. Book now on America's highest, longest, and most authentic steam-operated railroad. Visit our website at cumbrestoltec.com.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. Here's a look at the rest of September and a peek into October. Saturday, September 23rd. Well, you just heard us talking about the volunteer work day out of Penitente Canyon with the SLV Climbers Alliance as part of National Public Lands Day. Also, this Saturday, September 23rd, from 2 to 6 p.m., is Alamos's 2023 Oktoberfest. Join brewers and beer lovers for a day in Cole Park to drink beer, eat sauerkraut, and enjoy the fleeting sun to celebrate the end of summer. And it is the end of summer because Saturday marks the first day of fall 2023. Also on Saturday at 11 a.m. is the Adams State University Homecoming Parade on Main Street. Starts at 11 o'clock. Be there. And then there's all sorts of homecoming activities, including a carnival at the near the Rex Stadium in the afternoon. And then at night is the homecoming football game. Also on Wednesday, September 27th, beginning at 5:30, I guess it's around 5 o'clock, there's a trail work day sponsored by the Alamosa Park and Rec Department out at the Disc Golf Trails. So if you're interested, bring a pair of gloves, tools will be provided, and you can help maintain some of the trails out there. September 30th is a volunteer work day at the Rio Grande Farm Park from 9 a.m. to noon. Be sure you dress for the work, bring a good pair of gloves, and some sun protection. Coffee and snacks will be provided. Also on September 30th is a volunteer work day at the Malm Trail, sponsored by the Alamosa National Wildlife Refuge and the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Organization, 9 to noon, and that one requires an RSVP because there's only a limited number of folks that can be accommodated at the Malm Trail. So go to riograndeheadwaters.org to RSVP if you want to participate in that volunteer workday. There's no RSVP necessary for the volunteer workday at the farm park. On September 26th at 7 p.m. is the regular meeting of the San Luis Valley Chapter of Trout Unlimited. That's held at the Alamosa Senior Center, 92 Colorado Avenue in Alamosa. And there's no formal program, but you are encouraged to come and talk about what you did during the summer with respect to any fishing exploits. October 7th is SLV Pride's Queer Hike Meetup. This hike will start at around 9 a.m. at the Middle Frisco Trail just outside Del Norte. The hike will traipse through the changing colors of the aspens. Be sure to dress appropriately for the hike. And don't forget the 10 essentials. Contact at Al Stone at ALLYSONSTONE92@gmail.com if you need directions to the trailhead. On October 13th through the 15th is the third annual True Penitence Climbing Festival. Starting Friday, the weekend's events include a climbing competition, live music, food, a film screening of the North Face film series Real Rock 17, and of course, plenty of climbing to be had and climbing gear to be won. To sign up and learn more, head to slvclimb.org/fest. Also on October 15th, the San Luis Valley Trout Unlimited chapter has their semi-annual highway cleanup that starts at 9 o'clock, and we meet near the Collar State Wildlife Area to pick up trash along the highway, the Silver Thread Highway. For more information about that, you can learn more by going to the Facebook page for San Luis Valley Trout Unlimited. And on October 20th is the Rio Reels Film Festival to benefit the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project. This year's event will be held at the Sky High Complex in Monte Vista. Ticket prices are $30 in advance and $40 at the door. On consecutive upcoming Saturdays of September 27th and October 4th, The Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad is running its dinner trains, which offer guests a fantastic view of the autumn foliage and, of course, a fine meal. You can book those train rides by calling 1-888-286-2737, or you can send an email to info@cumbrestoltec.com. On every episode of The Outdoor Citizen, we'll have an outdoor correspondent report from around the San Luis Valley. Here's the latest field report from Madeline Alborn of SLV Go and her recent fundraising journey on the Ouray 50-mile race.
What's up, Alamosa? It's Maddie Alborn, Stanley Boo-Boo. We're here in Felon Park for the Ouray 50-mile race, also a fundraiser for San Luis Valley Great Outdoors.
I'm going to lay out my work right here at the bridge now.
Okay. Is that the release of fear?
Yes.
Wow.
We're at mile 10. And I'm on this like Jeep road right now. I have a friend in the trail, so I'll show you. It's a porcupine. It is Maddie again. As you can tell, it's dark outside now.
I made a good effort. It's 25 miles, about 10 hours, or just over 10 hours. So I feel good about that, but also just knowing that, you know, sometimes we do set like high expectations for ourselves, and it's okay to like not reach those. I know I came out here like looking for an experience, and I definitely got an experience.
Fall is here, but that doesn't mean that the outdoor fun stops. While we've got all this daylight and warmth, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners, as you explore the San Luis Valley's great outdoors. We encourage you to record an audio file on your phone and send it to us. We would enjoy seeing a photograph. Also, you can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with your name for credit. You know, weather-wise, the fall season offers the perfect time for trail hiking, just plain walking, or bike riding. The weather isn't too hot or too cold, but just right. Sounds like a Goldilocks moment, huh? There's no better time or place than fall in the San Luis Valley, and the first official day of fall is Saturday, September 23rd. The colors are starting to change just a little bit in the high country, and on a bike ride last Saturday, so not on Saturday the 9th, we did see a few trees starting to change here on the valley floor. So keep your eyes open for that. Now, some fishing reports from our friends who have their eyes on the nearest fishing holes. And I can tell you that a friend I go dog walking with has been fishing on both the Canoas and the Rio Grande. And instead of going early in the morning, ideal times are from like 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock or 4, so you can still get in a nice breakfast, have a nice walk in the morning, and wet your line. Courtesy of Canoas River anglers, the Canoas River has been dropping, but holding around 100 CFS with scattered storms, bringing the flows up slightly. Fish are rising in the riffles and longer runs throughout the day, especially in the afternoons. The fish seem to be keying on small BWOs and midges on top. Courtesy of ARC anglers, the Arkansas River has cooler weather settling in the valley. Air temperatures ranging from the low 40s to the high 60s. This is maintaining great water temperatures for the fishery and is combining with low late season flows to make for some happy fish. You can just see them grinning, can't you, Owen? Yeah. The river flow is now within the optimal flow range for resident trout populations, 250 to 400 CFS at Wellsville. There's still enough water for float fishing for experienced boaters, but wade anglers will find a far more approachable river than we've seen before since runoff. Dry hopper fishing continues to be very productive in the lower basin, though there are specific times when a single dry fly can be very productive. Expect the best surface feeding in the mornings when water temperatures are cooler. Follow fish into more oxygenated water after lunchtime. And for the San Juan River near Archuleta, New Mexico, courtesy of Duranglers, flows have just been dropped to about 700 CFS, which is a fantastic wade or floating flow. Terrestrial fishing can be good this time of year with ants, crickets, and grasshoppers. Tie on a big dry fly and just see what happens before you go small. With cooler overcast days, be on the lookout for rising trout. Blue wing olive and midge hatches have been showing up. Otherwise, it might be that your small San Juan nymph will be the ticket. Here on The Outdoor Citizen, we aim to keep you up to date on all the outdoor news that comes our way. Here's what's going on outside. Dale Culver has been named the San Luis Valley Field Manager for the Bureau of Land Management. Culver was the chief park ranger at the Great Sand Dunes National Park for more than a decade and was with the National Park Service for 27 years. The city of Monte Vista was recently awarded $1 million to help the town nourish its tree canopy. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service awarded more than 400 projects with funds. Monte Vista will use these funds to catalog live trees in the city, identify trees that are diseased or need to be removed, and plant 100 trees in each of the next 5 years. One person has been arrested after allegedly killing two deer over the weekend. Reports were made on September 15th and September 16th of deer that had been shot and killed within the city limits. Early Sunday morning resulted in the arrest of one suspect after CBW wildlife officers and Alamosa police officers were able to locate the vehicle through security footage. The Rio Grande National Forest will be presenting this month's Forest Specialist Series Wednesday, September 27th at 5 p.m. Price Heiner, Rio Grande National Forest archaeologist, will be explaining some of the results of the bunker archaeological site tests. During the 2022 field season, forest archaeologists conducted three shovel tests at the bunker site in order to get a better sense of the geoarchaeology and cultural history of the area. Preliminary geomorphological, faunal, and lithic analysis were conducted, and radiocarbon dates were obtained. Visit the Rio Grande National Forest website or Facebook page for event information. On the gray wolf front, U.S. Fish and Wildlife announced that it has provided a draft record decision to establish an experimental population of gray wolves in Colorado. Once finalized, the decision gives Colorado Parks and Wildlife increased management flexibility of the overall gray wolf restoration effort in the state. There is no public comment period open at this time, as the public comment for this rule has already occurred. The first reintroduction of the gray wolf is still anticipated to occur prior to the December 31st, 2023 statutory deadline, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Well, this ends the episode of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. We'll be back here October 3rd. We hope you enjoyed listening in. Until next time, we'll see you in the outdoors. And again, we want to thank Don Richmond for the music that you're listening to. and Daniel Boyce for the bird sounds. Thanks, everyone. Have a great time outside.